Well, I have a confession to make. So when I first started doing this thing called church ministry, I liked the local church. I didn't love it. I just liked it. And what I had as my dream and what I thought I was going to do was one of two paths. I was either going to pursue a path of doing some denominational work, working at a headquarters that's going to be serving some of the churches, or to be able to be just what's called an itinerant speaker, somebody who's just going to go around and travel and do speaking to groups of people, and whether it's camps or whatever that was. But just a couple of years into church ministry, I ended up falling in love with the local church. And I loved being with the same people and just doing life with them. I loved pouring into them. And so everything changed for me, and it no longer became a desire for me to just move outside of the local church to do ministry, but I wanted to continue to stay within the local church to do ministry. You know, here at Cross Point, we started back in 2003, and there's been a couple of questions that I've loved to ask people all throughout the years. In fact, even just last week when I met Larry and Maria, who were here for the very first Sunday, when I met them, I asked them, I said, what brought you in? Because it's one of those questions that I just love asking. What is it that brought you in? What got you here? And they just shared with me that their kids had been coming. They hadn't, but their kids had been coming, and they decided, based on what their kids were telling them, that they felt like they needed to come and check out the church for themselves. Well, another one of those questions that I love to ask is what brought you back? When somebody's returned, what is it? What is it that brought you back? And obviously, you saw several of those just a moment ago with that bumper video. Well, today we're going to talk about Count Me In. We're going to be talking about when it comes to church, are you counted in? Are you somebody that we can't even look at and go, can we count on you when it comes to what we do around here at Cross Point? You know, in the early days of Cross Point, as we were just getting it started, we hadn't even become Cross Point. But I sat around a couple of tables, and there was about a dozen of us, and we began to brainstorm and think about, hey, what are we going to call the church? What are we going to call it? And we quickly gravitated to the name Cross Point. And the reason we gravitated to the name Cross Point was because of two specific things. One is that we really believed and saw that it's the point of the cross is why the church exists. That's it. Without the cross, that the church wouldn't exist. The second thing is that it's the point of the cross. I mean, that is the point. And it's our job as a church to point people to the cross. That's what we're here to do, to point them to where they can see the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and what he has done and what he's done for you. And so we quickly gravitated to that. And we weren't sure from there what we were going to be called other than keeping Cross Point in it. I pitched the idea of, let's just call it Cross Point, nothing else. And you know, somebody said, what, you mean you wouldn't even put the word church in it? And I said, yeah, let's just call it Cross Point. Well, that went over like I don't even know what to compare that to. It just did not go over. And nobody was ready. Nobody's prepared for that. We have to have church in our name. Okay. And so we landed on Cross Point Fellowship Church is what we ended up landing on. And so we've been known as Cross Point Fellowship Church since April of 2003. And since then, we've always focused on and had, I believe, a laser-like focus on what our purpose is. And see, that same group of people that I sat around those couple of tables, we spent a couple of weeks really honing and going, what is it that's going to be our purpose? What is it that we need to consider? And we considered all things, and we wanted to have a purpose statement that was going to be memorable. That one was going to be transferable. People could be able to go, hey, I get that. I know what that's about. I know why we're doing what we're doing. We wanted that. And in order for you to have a great purpose statement, you can never have a complete one. You know, there's some organizations, there's even some churches that have a very complete purpose statement. And 3 minutes later after you've read it, you can't ever remember it because of how long it is. And so we wanted something that was going to be short and memorable that we could go, yep, that's what we're here to do. And so when we're planning for the gathering, what are we planning to do? Why are we doing what we're doing? And so our purpose statement, as we began to work on it, we began to consider things. We even made an order to it of what order we wanted to do this in and where we were going to prioritize this and what we're going to do. So as we got started with identifying our purpose statement, we start with this. We want to reach seekers. That is part of our purpose. It is central to who we are as a church. That from the very beginning, that Crosspoint, we wanted to be a church that unchurched people would love to attend. And that's kind of weird to think about that. And then if they do start attending, then they're really not unchurched anymore, and that kind of comes complex and all that. But we did. We wanted to be a church. We still do. The unchurched people would go, hey, I feel like I can belong around here. I feel like I fit in. I want to keep coming. And so we as a church, we said we want to reach seekers. We want to take and help those people. They're just seeking. What's the purpose? What's the meaning in life? What am I missing out on? There's got to be something more. When they don't understand who Jesus is, that they're just seeking. And we want to help them be finders and not just seekers. So we're here. That's part of our purpose, is to reach seekers. It's also part of our purpose to build believers. We want to reach seekers and build believers. And we believe that we can be both, that we believe that we can be a church that we're both deep and wide, that we're covering both sides of it, and that we're going to be deep and helping to reach and take those people that are already believers and help them grow. But we want to be wide in the way that we can be able to connect and help other people who are far from God or have given up on church, and connect with them as well. That we want to reach seekers, build believers. And then we said, you know, let's make sure we know why we're doing what we're doing. That we don't want to just take this church and build our little thingdom of, hey, there's our church. No, we want to actually build God's kingdom is what we want to do. And so it's reach seekers and build believers for the kingdom of God. That's why we exist. It's what we're doing, and we evaluate everything by this and going, are we reaching seekers? Are we building believers? Are we doing this not for our glory, not for our fame, not for our thing, but are we doing this for God? And so we have that as our purpose, and we nailed that before we ever launched Crosspoint Fellowship Church. But it took us a few years before we ended up developing a mission strategy of how is it that we're going to go about achieving that purpose? How are we going to make sure that we don't deviate from that? And so I like to think of a purpose like what I think about our military, and they have a purpose. And the purpose of our military is to protect and defend American interests. That is their purpose. Now, their mission changes based on, well, what's going on? What's the dynamics? What's the threats? You know, there aren't any threats right now. This is what we need to do. That's how we just need to be prepared. And so their mission changes, but their purpose doesn't. And so our purpose is reach seekers, build believers for the kingdom of God. And we have a mission strategy as well. We've even adjusted our mission strategy since we first started with a mission. But I want to share with you the five pieces of our mission strategy of what we do as a church. How is it that we go about being a church that we're going to be the church that says, hey, we're going to reach seekers and build believers. But before I get to those five things, I want to share with you that there's something biblically that begins to drive us with what we're doing as a church and why it is that we're doing it. It's found in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And this is a passage that the resurrected Jesus was sharing this. So he's already given his life. He's returned from the dead. He's on earth for 40 days. And it's right near the end of these 40 days of him being on earth. And he's talking to his disciples. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he's saying this because he knows he's getting ready to return to heaven, but you need to understand, I am still going to be with you, even though physically I'm no longer going to be present. Well, this is something that's called the Great Commission. That's the label that we have given it. And it's this commission to anybody who's a believer that we've been commissioned to go out and do this. What are we doing? We're going out and we're going to reach people. We're going to baptize them. We're going to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded and taught. And we're going to remember that he is always with us. So as a church, that's That's what we are about. And so we have this mission strategy that says, hey, let's use this as the means for us to make sure that we are fulfilling the Great Commission. So the first piece of our mission strategy is to engage culture. That we want to engage culture. We want to be a church that we're relevant. We're relevant to people when they just walk in the door. That there are too many people that they're desperate, and so they've been away from church or away from God either all their lives, or they've been mad and so they went away and now they're coming back and they're looking for hope. And so if we can engage culture and let them know, listen, we're relevant and we're here to share with you the hope of Jesus, then we think that we can, one, share that hope, but we think they'll also stick around. And so we do. So we engage culture. We do this in multiple different ways. We do it from the way that we dress, as far as people get on stage and what they're doing and what they wear. We do it from that standpoint. We do it from reading a Bible translation that is simple to understand, that it's easy to get. And so we do that as well. We do it from music that is contemporary, it's modern, and we do it with a volume that matches and says, hey, okay, that kind of feels good. Felt like I was at a concert. Am I allowed to say that? And all of that we do on purpose. In fact, when it comes to our music, we intentionally look for what are some non-Christian, that's called secular, but what are some non-Christian songs that we could be doing, that we could be performing, that we could relate to what it is that we're talking about. Whether we're singing an old classic rock song of Dream On, whether we're singing a song like we did just a couple of weeks ago, Apologize, whether we've sung Bad Blood or whatever, we use these songs as an anchor point for where it is that we're trying to go and what we're going to do and what we're going to teach. And yet, I have some people that they've questioned me at times when it comes to doing that. It's like, okay, well, I kind of like to use props. I get that, and you know, I like your modern trend. Okay, I get that, but I don't that whole secular music thing. I don't get that. I have a hard time. What? How can you justify that? And to me, it's very easy, because all I do is I take them back to this guy in our Bible. He's kind of in there a few times. His name's Jesus. And I take them back to Jesus, and I say, you know what Jesus did? Jesus made up these stories, and they were all secular in nature. And he makes up these stories, they're called parables, and he makes them up. It's a secular illustration to teach a spiritual truth. And so what we do with our songs is we want to engage culture, which is what Jesus was doing when he made up these stories, so they could get it and understand it. And we just want to hone in on that and leverage it for all that we can. And so, you know, I just kind of take that approach when it comes to church. You know, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And so that's what we're going to do. Now our secular music has a melody to it, and his didn't when it came to his secular illustrations, but really it is no different. But we do. We want to engage culture. Second thing for us is we want to enable people to serve. That we want to enable people to serve so that they can come and they can feel like they're a part of what it is that we do as a church. Now, this is a mission strategy that for us, it changed from the early years of Crosspoint. That it used to be that, you know, no, okay, somebody needs to be a member before they are allowed to serve. But we've changed that. And the reason we've changed it is because really when we looked at our mission strategy, we felt like it wasn't serving our strategy. Instead, it was working against us. Because a third piece of our mission strategy is to expand the kingdom. That we're here and we want to expand the kingdom of God is what we're talking about, that we would take people that are far from God, help them connect the dots, understand who Jesus is, and become part of the family of God. And so when we looked at this and said, you know, why wouldn't we allow people to begin to plug in and do some significant things around here and feel like they're part of it? And as we looked at that and did that, one of the things that we really wanted to do and accomplish, and there's some churches that they're like going, I just can't go there. But there's other churches like us that are going, you know what? We think this is the best way right now. And that is to take this approach that says, you can belong without even having to believe. That you don't have to believe what we teach. You don't have to believe the Bible. But you can belong here. You are welcome to be here. And we would love to have you here. And we'd love to get to know you so that we can love you. And that you can believe without even belonging. So that's why we enable people to serve without even having to be a member or even having to be a Christ follower. And we do, we have some areas where we say, you know, okay, if you're going to teach the Word of God, we actually want you to be a believer. You know, so we say, hey, if that's the role that you've got, then there. So we've got some different standards in place at different places. But many of our areas, we're going, hey, if you just want to hang out here and let this be a church that you're going to attend, we'd love to help you connect and belong here, and you can volunteer and be part of what we're doing. And the reason we do that is because we believe that if they can belong and they can begin to build relationships with other people, that we really think that that's going to be a great way to help them build a relationship with their Heavenly Father. That if they've got a reason to keep coming back because of how they're volunteering and what they're doing, then they are going to continue to be exposed to what we're teaching about God's Word. And that's our high hope, is that we're going to expand God's kingdom. But people are going to go, hey, I want part of that. I want to experience what you guys are experiencing. When it comes to our church, anybody who's going to be a member of our church and they sit through a membership class, and this is an abbreviated one that I'm giving you in case you haven't figured it out, but I'll do anything, right? So anybody that sits through a membership class and chooses to join our church, we share with them one particular thing that we say. If you're going to be a member of our church, one, we want you to commit this to memory, and two, we want to make sure that you're going to live this out. And that particular piece of that class is what we call our evangelism strategy. And so if you're here with us and you're thinking, you know what, I don't know how I feel about that, well, I actually would love for every single one of you guys to take a pen and a paper or take your phone and make notes with it, but to make a note of this, what our evangelism strategy is. And I know that there's some of you guys that when you hear evangelism, it's like the biggest turnoff ever. You're like going, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't know enough about the Bible. I would never do that. I can't begin to tell somebody something because they're going to ask me a question that I don't even know. And you can convince yourself that you could never be part of that. You might even look and go, you know what? I got this lifestyle choice that I'm living and people see it about me and they don't want anything to do. I'm not going to do that. But when it comes to being a member of our church, we have this evangelism strategy, and it's three things, and I just want to take a moment to share these with you. Our very first thing, so I'd love for you to take a note of this, evangelism strategy. Our very first thing is invite. That we want all of our members to live this out, that they would be inviting others to come to church here, that they would be inviting. Now, when we talk about inviting others, that we want it to be a focused invite. That we're not encouraging you to find some of your friends who are very committed to another church and go, hey, you need to come to our church. That's not the kind of invitation we're doing. Instead, it's an invitation that when you've got somebody you know, a coworker, a friend, a family member, and that they're not regular at a church or they don't go at all, those are the ones that we're going, hey, will you just invite them? Side note, it takes on average 7 invitations for somebody to respond. And so if you've been rejected 5 times, you got 2 more to go before you're going to see a positive result. But we do. We want you to invite. And the reason that we have this as part of our evangelism strategy is because as a church, we're not going to go more than 8 weeks before we unpack and share this great news about who Jesus is and how you can begin a relationship with Jesus as your heavenly Savior. And so that's why we want you to invite. So that's the first one, okay? So let me just make sure you guys are listening and paying attention. So our first step is to what? Invite. Okay, good. You guys are listening. So our second step, it's a little familiar. It's kind of like our first step. And that second step for us is we want you to invite. And the third step for us is we want you to invite. That is our evangelism strategy. It's invite, invite, invite. And maybe you're here and you're like going, are you telling me that I'm not allowed to tell people about Jesus? I have to bring them here? No, not at all. If that's your gift and that's your strength area and that's your passion, or you get an opportunity that God puts in front of you, oh, absolutely obey that and do that. But know that you can be part of helping to lead somebody come to a faith-saving relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ, by inviting them to church. that you can be part of our mission strategy of expanding the kingdom. The fourth one for us is experience community. That we want people to experience community, whether that's through a small group, whether it's through the way that they plug in and they volunteer and they begin to get connected with other people. We want people to experience community. There was a post on Facebook just a few weeks ago. And this post was a post that somebody who's fairly new to Crosspoint, they got involved in the thread and a discussion, and somebody asked them very specifically, do you go to Crosspoint Fellowship Church? And her name's Diane, and I didn't get permission from Diane to be able to share this, but hey, if it's on social media, it's fair game, so I'm taking it, okay? And so here's what Diane did in response to that question of do you go to Crosspoint Fellowship Church? She said, it's really great. I've just been going there since Easter this year. The message is clear, on point, and encouraging. And it is so tempting to stop right there. But she said more. The worship, and I assume she's referring to our music, is alive and joyful. This, and she's referring now to Adventure Week, this has been my first experience with the community of Crosspoint, and I'm in love with the people and spirit of this church. It was beyond what I thought it was going to be, and now I have friends and people I know and I can talk to on Sundays. And she had some emoticons, a smiley face, a heart, and several others. When you're ready, come with an open heart and mind, and the Lord will do the rest. See, that's somebody that what? Experienced community. And it's somebody that I don't believe Diane has gone through a membership class with us. And yet, here's Diane, and she's being part of our evangelism strategy. She is inviting. And she's doing it because she's found something here of where she feels loved and valued and where she feels like she can grow in a relationship with her Heavenly Father. Which gets us to our last piece of our mission strategy, and that is equip believers. That we would equip believers, that we'd help believers with some knowledge on some occasion, go, here's some things you need to know and know about Jesus, know about God, know about the Bible, know about yourself. But more importantly, we don't stop there. And we push it even further to go, and here are things that you need to do now that you know that. Because to me, the application, that's the real piece. That if knowledge was enough, the world would be changed by now. We don't have a knowledge problem. We have an obedience problem. We have an application problem. And so we got to keep applying God's word as we equip believers. Jesus wants us to know some things. And as a church, we've said, you know what? There's this thing that's this great discovery. That there's this great discovery out there, and the great discovery is this. It's discovering, why do I need God? Why do I need God? And Jesus came to make sure that we would understand who God is and why we need him, and making sure that we could get to him. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man, and he's talking about himself, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. That he's saying this before he's ever given his life, and he's telling his disciples, and he's told them on multiple occasions the purpose for which he's come. And he is going to be a ransom payment. He's going to pay the ransom so that we can be redeemed. And he's letting them know that. But why? Why is that necessary? Well, the reason it's necessary is because mankind is separated from God. That when we come into this world, we come into this world separated from God. And as we come into this world separated from God, there's this big gap, this big chasm that separates us. And if you're questioning and going, well, what is that thing? Why are we separated from God? The thing that separates us from God is sin. That sin is what creates the gap. And so because there's that gap, mankind begins to question and ask himself or herself,
well, how do I get to God? How is it that I can get to where God is? And mankind begins to think, oh, I've got it. I've got the idea. I know what I can do. And as they think that they've got it figured out, they really don't. Because we can look at something that was written in this book of Proverbs that really speaks to who we are as people. And in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, we read, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. And what ends up taking place with this big gap, this sin gap that's in our lives, what ends up taking place is mankind ends up coming up with this bright idea and says, I've got it, I've figured it out. I know how I can get from being separated from God to being with God. And that is good works. That if I just begin to do some good works, and I just keep adding good works and keep adding good works, as long as I have more good in my life than bad in my life, that I can build that up and I can just move across and I can let that be the bridge that's going to get me all the way to God. But the problem is that good works don't stack up. They don't stack up. And I know that there can be some people in here today. And there's going to be people that you know that they have this idea that they think, oh, there's this path right here. And the path is, as long as I have more good in my life than bad, then hopefully, God's going to let me in and I'll be able to go to heaven. And that is a path that ends in death. Because if we're relying on our good works to earn our way in, to create a path for us to get there, we are going to be sadly disappointed for all of eternity. There's something to understand about these good works, because it's not that good works are bad, that we were created to do good works. But good works weren't created to bring us to God. That yes, we're created to do good works, we should be doing good things. But those good things that we do and those good works that we do, they were never designed to be the way that you and I could get to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. It was his grace that he did it. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. And when did it happen? It happened when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. You can't take credit and say, well, it's because I did this and I did this and God said, okay, that's good enough. You can come in now. You can't take credit for it. Look, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We can't boast about what we did to get it. For we are God's masterpiece and he created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That yes, we were created to do good works, but good works were never created in order to get us to God. When we look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we see here that when it comes to this thing called sin, that there's something we should know. It says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That God has a standard. He has a standard for you. He has a standard for me. And just because I'm the pastor, my standard is no different. The standard is the same for all of us. And here's the standard. Perfection. That's it. That the only thing God expects from you and the only thing that God expects from me is that you and I would be perfect. That is his glorious standard to which we have all miserably failed to meet. That we've all sinned. And so when we look at this thing called sin and we begin to understand this thing called sin, sin, it means to miss the mark. It means to fall short. That the standard's perfection and yet we sin, we miss the mark, we fall short of it in anything and everything that we do. When we look at more of what Jesus was teaching in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus was talking to his disciple Thomas, and Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except
through me. Now, when it comes to Christianity, Christianity sometimes gets a bad rap from people because people say, you know, I don't like the whole Christianity thing because, you know, they are so narrow-minded that they think that Jesus is the only way that you can get to God. They think that Jesus is the only way that you can get to heaven. And I've got to hand it to them and say, you know, you're right, but I think there's a better way to look at it, even though that is true. And I think that instead of looking at it as narrow-minded, I think a better way to understand this is that Jesus was being crystal clear. That Jesus was going, hey, listen, I want everybody to know, I want everybody to understand, what is it that has to happen if you are interested in getting to heaven? What is it that has to happen? How do I get there? And I don't think it's about being narrow-minded. I think it's about being crystal clear. And so he was super clear. He said, listen, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And here's the clarity. No one comes to the Father except through me. That it's not about, we don't have to question, you know, somebody that's going, you know what, I'd like to believe that I've got more good in my life than bad, so hopefully he's going to let me. You don't have to rely on that kind of hope that you're just questioning. Instead, you can rely on a hope of what Jesus has done for you and put your faith and your trust in him and believe what he's done for you has been offered to you so that you can have a right standing with God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. He never sinned, he never did anything wrong, but he took on our sin and then he laid his life down. And then 3 days later, he conquered death and he came back to life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the way that we get to God. And there is no other way. And if there were, I think that we would have a hard time with it. Because I think it would be, it's so hard and so difficult to look at what Jesus went through on the cross for us. And if that's just a way, that's too high of a price to pay. And so Jesus is the way. When we look and understand what God's plan has been for us, we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. This is what he's always wanted, is to bring us back to him. And by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So that's the great discovery of why. Why do I need God? So I want to ask you this morning, have you accepted that gift of Jesus that's been offered for you so that you cannot be separated from God any longer and now you can be with God? And many, most of you, maybe all of you have. But maybe there's somebody in here that hasn't. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. And if you're somebody that as you've heard this message, maybe you've heard this and you're going, you know, there are things that I've never really understood, and this seems so much clearer now, and I understand this, and I'm ready. I'm ready to rely on Jesus doing it for me, what I could never do on my own. And if that's you and you're ready to make that decision today, would you just look up at me real quickly, show me your hand, and say, well, that's me. You don't have to say that out loud, but that's you saying it. When you just look up, show me your hand, and that's going to be you going, I want to make that decision. Is there anybody that's with us this morning? Anybody in the room that wants to make that decision? I see you. And I see you. Is there anybody else? I want to lead you in a prayer. In this prayer, I'm going to lead you in. If maybe you didn't even show your hand, maybe you're so intimidated by that. This is a prayer that you can pray right where you are, silently in your heart to your Heavenly Father. And this is that prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to rescue me, to pay the ransom payment for my sin. I admit to you that I need you. I admit that I have these sins and that I need forgiveness that only you can provide. So today I commit my life to you, to following you, to trusting you. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. And if you get somebody that you prayed that prayer, then we celebrate that and we say, welcome to the family of God, that you've been adopted in. Well, there's a public discovery, and the public discovery is baptism. And that you would go, hey, I'm all in, and I am absolutely all in on this thing called faith. And so when it comes to this, we're going to be here just a couple more minutes, but when it comes to this, that we can look and we can see inside of Scripture, and we'll look at Acts 8:12 as an example. Says, but now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result, many men and women were baptized. That when we look throughout Scripture, the only time in our New Testament when we see people get baptized is after they made a decision to become a Christ follower. That's it. And maybe you're somebody that you were baptized as an infant, or maybe you were baptized as a child, and you were baptized before you yourself actually had the faith to believe and trust in Jesus. And if you've done that, that's because somebody loved you enough and cared for you enough that wanted to make sure there were some spiritual values that were being poured into you. But you can complete what it is that they started, and you can make that decision to say, I want to be baptized as somebody who has made this decision for myself to believe in Jesus. We're going to be baptizing on September 9th and 10th, and we'd love for you to be part of that if you've not experienced that. Well, when you came in today, you had on your seat a couple of forms. And one just has our membership agreement, but the other, and that's for you to take with you, but the other had this card on it that says, hey, count me in. And on the back side, it says Dream Team. And count me in. And when you look at this count me in, it's a way for you to be able to become part of Cross Point Fellowship Church at the level of saying, hey, I want to be a member here. And the reason this is so important is to be counted in, is to be counted on. And that we want to count you in because we want to be able to count on you for your church. And so you can take and go, hey, you know, I want to be part of this church. And if you'll take this and fill this in and say, hey, I want to be part of this, and then you can become part of Cross Point Fellowship Church as a member. And there's two prerequisites for membership. One is you have to be a Christ follower. And so that's one of our prerequisites if you're going to be a member. And the second is you have to be baptized since becoming a Christ follower. And so if you want to say, hey, I want to join, I do believe, but I haven't been baptized like that yet, then you can sign up for that, and we'd love to get you baptized, and you can become a member of our church. If you'll do that, then we will bribe you to do this because we'll give you one of these shirts. And you can take this form, and instead of dropping it with the ushers as you leave, you're going to want to hold on to that, get all the way through the doors, and take it to the next steps area, and we will give you one of these shirts of reaching seekers and building believers. Now, on the backside is the Dream Team. Now, the Dream Team, these are the people that are helping to make the dream a reality of reaching seekers and building believers. These are the people that are volunteering and being part of our church at a higher level. And the people that turn in a Dream Team card can get one of these. They can get a Dream Team shirt. And you might be going, well, I kind of want to do both. Well, that's great because we have a 2-for-1 special today. And you can do both. And so we'd love for you to just take that form and fill that in. Even if you're somebody that's going, hey, I'm already a member here, would you just fill in that form and just drop it in the container that the ushers are holding as you leave today and just drop that there. If you're somebody that's going, hey, I want to get one of those Reaching Seeker shirts, or hey, I want to be part of the Dream Team, so you want to take it to the next steps, and I'll even go this far. You might be somebody that's already a member and go, I lost my Reach the Seeker shirt. Can I get another one? Yes, you can. We are a generous church. And so, yes, you can. And you can take that form and take it right over to that next steps area, give it to them, even though you're already a member, and they will gladly give you a shirt in your size. Pray with me. God, I thank you for what you're doing through this church. God, the way that you are using Crosspoint to transform lives. I thank you for lives that were transformed here this morning. I thank you for the way that the lives are going to be transformed as they just continue to live out biblical principles that just keep getting taught week in and week out. I pray that people that have not yet been counted in would see that, you know what, it's time for me to be counted in. Count me in, because they're ready to be counted on. God, and I pray that you would use them in incredible ways to help expand your kingdom. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.